some rain history in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Larry McGlore, KB9DIP, with the rain report for May 19th, Hamvention weekend. The first time the rain crew visited the Dayton Hamvention was 1988, 30 years ago. While the rain report technically did not exist until 1990, Hap Holly, KC9RP, began producing audio ham radio programming for national consumption in 1988 under the name RP Report. This week we bring you one of those early interviews Hap did, but which never showed up as a rain report. It was a conversation with Jack Althaus, K6NY, the man behind Palomar Engineers in Escondido, California.
As solid-state transceivers become more and more common on the amateur low bands, the need for tuning up the transmitter is eliminated. However, because solid-state rigs are more temperamental when it comes to achieving a proper match between the transceiver and the antenna, matching devices, i.e. antenna tuners, play a greater role in the shack. For the blind amateur, whether it be tuning up the transmitter or the matchbox, the results can be equally frustrating. Now there is some relief in the device called the Tuner Tuner. At the 1987 Dayton Hamvention, I spoke with Jack Althaus, K6NY of Escondido, California. Founder of Palomar Engineers back in 1965, Althaus has been a radio amateur since 1939. Here's an interview with Jack Althaus, K6NY, discussing his Tuner Tuner.
This device is derived from our world-famous noise bridge, and it is a noise bridge that is connected between your transceiver and your antenna tuner, and it allows you to tune your tuner without transmitting. You turn it on, and you'll hear a loud brushing sound in the receiver. And if the antenna tuner is way off tune, it'll be like S9 plus. Now you adjust the controls of your antenna tuner for a null. In other words, for the noise to go away. And if you're careful with that, when you get the noise completely gone, you will now have an SWR on the line of 1.0 to 1. So you effectively have tuned up without transmitting and without the need to read any meters. You can do it all audibly. You just turn it off, and then you can transmit.
Why don't we define what a noise bridge is, and then you can explain how you're able to develop the tuner-tuner from the original noise bridge concept.
All right. The noise bridge is a noise source, a very broad band, covers the entire high-frequency region, from about 1 to, say, 100 megahertz. This comes from just a little ordinary Zener diode, and then we amplify it up till it's a good S9 when heard in your receiver. This feeds just a standard bridge. The bridge has a potentiometer and a variable capacitor. One of them reads resistance, the other one for reactance. You connect an antenna to the noise bridge and adjust the noise bridge knobs for a null and a noise. Then you can read the knobs and you can see exactly what the antenna characteristics are.
Well, you don't have to have vision to do that, do you?
No, you don't. It's other than to read the knobs, and there are little pointers on there where you can tell pretty well where you are.
So the advantage of the tuner-tuner, though, is to know that you are properly matched as far as the tuner to the antenna without any guesswork at all or having to wonder if something might have changed in the circuit or if perhaps the knob might be just a little off of where it was last time.
That is correct. See, the main difference is that the tuner-tuner is a fixed noise bridge. It does not have any variable controls. It has just a fixed 50-ohm resistor. What you have to do is adjust your antenna tuner till it also looks like a 50-ohm resistor, which is what you want to do to have it match your transmitter.
Why has a tuner-tuner never been developed before? Why now?
Most transmitters nowadays will not function properly if the load is far away from 50 ohms. So that even though you have an antenna tuner, sometimes the rig will power down on you until you have had the time to adjust the tuner down close. With the tuner-tuner now, you don't have to go through that. you can, with the transmitter off, you can get the thing set at 50 ohms, and then immediately the transmitter works all right.
What is the principle behind the noise bridge? So you mentioned the closer the match is, the less noise. What is the concept behind that?
It's just the same concept as with any bridge. A bridge circuit has a generator of some kind, and an unknown quantity you've hooked on, you're trying to measure, and then some known variable elements that you vary until they match the unknown. At that point, the bridge balances, and as you get closer and closer to balance, the output of the bridge drops more and more until you get a perfect balance. There's no output whatsoever. The main difference between a noise bridge and the ordinary bridge is the ordinary bridge, you have a signal generator at the frequency that you want to measure, and then maybe a DC ammeter on the output of the bridge. The noise bridge generates a wide band noise. That's the generator signal. And then your receiver determines what frequency you do the measurement. And since every ham has a very good, well-calibrated receiver these days, this makes a very inexpensive way to build a bridge and still have a very accurate frequency measurement.
What frequency range will the tuner operate within?
We specify from 160 meters through the 10-meter band.
What if you were to try it at 6 meters? What would happen?
I don't know. I haven't tried it yet.
What price class are we talking about?
We're talking approximately $100.
Are there any other points you want to bring up about the tuner that make it such an attractive item to not only the disabled amateur, but the able amateur?
The points I brought before, the ability to tune up without transmitting is the key thing. But it also has built into it a large ceramic switch so that when you turn it off, it bypasses the noise bridge and you can transmit directly through it. And you can do this at full legal power.
Well, can you transmit through it if you don't switch it off, or will it damage it?
Well, that's another interesting point. And this is one we weren't really thinking of, the visually impaired amateur. We have a flashing red light on the front when it's turned on for the amateur who can see well to remind him to turn it off before transmitting. Now, if he forgets, no smoke comes out of it. We have put a fuse inside and on the circuit board in a clip. So if you do burn it out, you have to just take off the lid, put a new fuse in.
Why don't you use a fuse instead of a circuit breaker? Any, just for cost reasons or space consideration?
I didn't think the circuit breakers would be fast enough.
How big is the device?
It's about 4 by 5 by 3 inches. It's fairly small.
One knob on the item?
One knob to turn it on and off.
SO239's on either end?
That's right. It's on the back panel.
Okay, and this will work?
Anywhere your antenna tuner will work, this thing will work with it.
Do you have an address where someone can write if they want more information about the tuner?
Sure. Just write to Jack at Palomar Engineers at P.O. Box 455 in Escondido, California. ESCONDIDO. And our zip code is 92025.
Is there a phone number there?
Yes, you can call us. Area code is 619-747-3343.
Well, thank you very much, Jack. I appreciate your taking time out to drop by Booth 323 this morning here at the Dayton Hamvention.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
This has been an interview with Jack Althaus, K6NY, concerning his tuner noise bridge that would make matching a low-band solid-state transceiver to an antenna a bit more convenient for anyone, especially for a blind radio amateur. This interview is not to be considered as an endorsement for this product, but simply as a source of information. I'm Hap Holly, KC9RP in Chicago.
And that concludes the audio from a 1988 Dayton Hamvention interview that Hap Holly, KC9RP, produced for his RP report. It never did appear as a RAIN report, which kicked off in 1990. And I'm sad to report that Jack Althaus, K6NY, the founder of Palomar Engineers, became a silent key in 2013. Next week, we'll bring you our first of many excerpts to come from Hamvention 2018. The RAIN Report Hamcast is copyright 1990-2018. It updates Saturdays on therainreport.com and Saturdays on the shortwave voice of Lebanon, Tennessee, WTWW, around 9 p.m. Central Time on 5.085 megahertz. Now for Rain's founder and producer, App Holly, KC9RP, I'm Larry McGlure, bidding you a very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. Keep on hamming.